We are actually going to start in Isaiah 42, 24 through 25 today. I need to give you some background before we go into the main scripture. The background is this. The prophet is saying, who handed Jacob over to become loot and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned? For they would not follow his ways. They did not obey his law. So he poured out on them his burning anger, the violence of war. It enveloped them in flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart. They did not take it to heart. And that brings us to Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. But now, everybody say, but now. Those two words are going to be real important. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord. We are grateful for your word today. We are grateful for these last days that we have here in this space. Lord, we pray that the last messages that you want to give us are messages that will just lead us into the next space where we're going. Lord, we pray that you encourage us today and give us a word that divides up in the many ways that it needs to be divided so that every heart can get what it needs today, both here in person and in Zoom land. We thank you, Lord, for your word and pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We see immediately those two words I made you repeat, but now. Isaiah 42 ended very seriously because of Israel's sinful history, okay? And God's angry response. But the point being, they did not take heart, which means they did not change. They did not. And as they sat in exile, Israel did not understand what happened to them. So they did not change their ways because they didn't understand what happened and why it happened. So they didn't change anything. They simply sat in silence. And you know that verse in Psalm 137, 4 through 6, where it talks about they were unable to sing the Lord's songs in a foreign land. They couldn't even talk to God. They couldn't even talk to God. And there was no word from the Lord. There was no word from the Lord. There was just silence. Dead silence. That's why in Isaiah 43, in that verse 1 that we just read, he's addressing with these prophetic words, but now this is what the Lord says. So the prophet is bringing good news. This is what the Lord says. So finally, God is speaking again. What will God say to these sinful people? What would he say to these people that are so discouraged? Will it be another word of judgment? Or will it be a word of salvation? With the words, but now, it kind of indicates something's about to change. Something's about to be different. Isaiah has many comforting words for the people that are ruined by sin when he tells them what God is saying. He says, especially the one that stuck out to me, you are mine. You are mine. The Lord is letting them know, you belong to me. It seems like I've rejected you forever. Okay. It seems like because of I've put you in exile for such a long time, it seems like you're never coming out of it. And many scholars believe that when this was written, it was at the end. Are you two okay? It was at the end of their exile. It was at the end of it. So now, because the Lord is speaking again, because the Lord is speaking again, it was almost time for some to go back home or whatever was going on. But before they even did that, they had to hear. They had lost everything in war. They had been displaced. And they have been, they've concluded that they have been cut off from God forever. I don't know about you, but there may be times in your life when everything is so overwhelming, you feel that God is not with you, that he doesn't hear your prayers, that your prayers are going no further than the ceiling. You feel like you're condemned to have a life of suffering. But when the Lord says, but now you are mine, that's letting us know who God is. He's talking to the Israelites, but it's letting us know this is part of who God is. We are his. And it's not spoken in a selfish, possessive, you're mine, come. Mine, 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 mine. It's not spoken like that. It's spoken in love. It's spoken just the way kind of he spoke to his son of, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. After all the sin that Israel had done against him, even after all that he had already punished them so severely, he had not abandoned them. They were still his. And guess what? We are still his. We are still his. For us to understand, we may feel messed up again. He's letting us know we're still his sons and daughters. The principle of grace and mercy is true to the nature of God. So don't think, even though we're looking at this as he's talking to Israel, that that's all he's speaking about. He's speaking to us. This is his very nature. This is why we can take it that way. This is true to the nature of God. How do we know God still loves us? What is the evidence that he still loves us? Isaiah 43 offers some evidence. First, he says, I have created you and I have formed you. He still loves you. You think about those kids who have sometimes acted out, acted up, but your love for them has never changed. You want them to do better. You let them go their own way sometimes because you know they need to, but your love has never changed. That's the way God is with us. His love for us never changes. He doesn't abandon us. It's the principle we should know. And the next thing he says, the very fact that you exist as a separate people, when he was talking to Israel, showered with covenant blessings is proof of my love for you. The fact that God still blesses us is a covenant proof that we are a separated people. I think about the people in fires of California and how we got the word from a pastor whose house was surrounded by fire. They were forced to evacuate. They didn't know if their house would be there. Everything was cornered off. Many of the houses around that house had burned, but he had called and asked for prayer from all the pastors. Their house was saved. I don't know if it works like that. I don't know if God punishes people with all the fires that we see, but we know that God can turn it into his good. But those that are covered by him, there's something to that, folks. There's something to knowing how to call on God's name and the covering that we have and not being worried about the insurance company who canceled all fire insurance in those places the year before. So none of those people have that insurance. What is it? You can hear the people saying, but Lord, you sent us away. You destroyed our nation. You scattered the people from our country, from our homes, from the temple. And it even seems like you've just cut off yourself from us. But God says, he says to them as proof, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. The word redeemed has the same sense of I have bought you. I have purchased you. And we know how he did that, right? And so God says, I give Egypt for your ransom and Cush and Seba in your stead. I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. In other words, God's telling us, I'll pay anything. And we know that he did, didn't he? To the very life of his son. Yes, you've been sold into slavery. Yes, as in the days of Egyptian bondage, but I set you free. Remember when I set you free when you were sold there? I set you free and I will set you free again. I like that because I wanted to say, I moved you once and I will move you again. God speaks as though it has already happened, because it's about to happen. And it's absolutely certain that it will happen. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. This is anticipation of when Jesus comes, when he's talking to them. I have redeemed you all the way to the cross. That's how much I love you. I sent my son to die for you because you are mine. Here's the proof. I've created you and I've redeemed you. It's proof of his love for us. Whatever happens in your life, remember those truths. Whatever happens in your life, remember. He's created you. He's redeemed you. I'm going to include me. He's created us and he's redeemed us. They're the foundation of our lives. He says, I have summoned you by name. Something about the Lord knowing your name. He knows my name. Out of this vast melting pot of nations and billions of people, he knows your name, Eugene. Bev. Gail. Now I can't leave anybody out. Betty. Harry. Rosa. Dan. It's nice to be able to say everyone's name. If we had thousands of people, this couldn't happen. Bev, Charlene, Sarah, it would. Bob, Pat, Hannah, I know you, Sam, and Tamar. And everybody on Zoom. I saw Giselle. I pray that Renee, Bob Miller, I know, and that's great. And the Newlands, and if Sharon is with them, Diane, and some other person, whoever it is, guess what? God knows your name. I can't tell you how many times, because I teach 600 kids, and I like to remind my superiors of that every time they try to ask me to do something else, that I forget a name. And I've told you before, I say, honey, baby, sweetheart. And it's like when I try to say their name, I'm not Mason, I'm James. Whatever, you have a twin at another school. I just wanted to tell you. No, you pronounce it Aaliyah, not Alea, but I have an Aaliyah and I have an Alea. And I have a Kyrie and I have I don't know, but it goes on and on. But you know what the beautiful part is? I should say when I'm about to leave, you know, God knows your name, honey. It's okay. God knows our names. He won't forget us. He won't leave us behind. He won't lump us in with other people. It's like, this shouldn't be happening to me. Are you sure you don't have me mixed up with someone else? No, I know who I'm talking about, he says. I know you. I know your name. I know your real name. And here's another point. Other people may try to call you by a different name. Other people may try to call you names that are so unflattering. But God knows your real name. They changed Joseph's name. Was it Joseph? Yeah. To Daniel's name. They changed Daniel's name to something else. Balthazar. Which kind of means God has forgotten you or something about, but God said, it doesn't matter what they call you. You know, there's a saying, it doesn't matter what they call you, it only matters what you answer to. What do we answer to? He knows our name. We're not lost and we're not alone. Next, when they talk about fire and water, I said, how crazy that California, all these fires are going on. But fire and water are used in the Bible over and over. The images of water and fire, they emerge through, if we think about it. In Egypt, they went through the Red Sea. They followed a pillar of fire. And Daniel's three friends went through the fiery. And Jesus goes into the water to be baptized. Which is really another scripture I could have used today about the baptism of Jesus. We used it, but it could have been the sermon. But I thought this was more to what we needed today. And it was also in the RCL. Isaiah 43, however, those images suggest trial, trial by water, trial by fire. But God says, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. When you go in the water, you will not drown. So we can look at that fire and we can look at that the water overwhelming us as the struggles that we're dealing with right now. Tried in the fire, overwhelmed by your issues, overwhelmed. You will not drown. I hear about people committing suicide. Overwhelmed by the fire, overwhelmed by the water. Let me remind you, because these people don't look like they would ever do that. They don't walk around. They walk around kind of with the mask on. So I don't know what any of us are going through, but I want to remind you, you will not drown and you will not be consumed by the fire. Hang in there. He knows your name. And get help. And sometimes it's more than just us praying for you. And there is no shame in that. We will not be consumed. He even says you won't emerge smelling like smoke. That's how much he's got us. So in captivity, the hardest trial you'll ever endure. That they endured. And you don't think you're ever going to make it out. I love it that God comes to that very dark spot. And you may even be on the floor. He comes down with you on the floor. And picks you up. Brush you off. Brushes you off. And sends you on your way. That is the God we serve. He'll meet us in our struggle. He'll lead us out of our prisons, things that have held us captive. Not only do I know your name, but I understand your suffering. It's not new to him. And I'm with you. And I'm with even your children to the ends of the earth. Notice he says, everyone who is called by my name. Or to change it to Romans 10, verse 13, all who call on the name of the Lord. It's a wonderful promise of God to all the nations and the languages and to your loved ones who you feel are lost. They're not too far for God to redeem. Nobody's ever too far for God to redeem. He can and will bring them from afar. And you want to know why? It's because also of your dedication. That's what it's because of. It's because of you that your children are covered in that manner. They will go out and make mistakes. Lord knows we can identify. But he has redeemed those who call on his name. So our prayer is, Lord, recognize, may our children recognize you as Lord. That's our prayer. And it all depends not on us, but it depends on God and God alone. Not on us, but God and God alone. He's at the center of all this truth. He is at the center of everything that we need. When he says, I am Yahweh, your God. Your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Recognize who I am. I am that God. Your Savior. And I love this about Jesus. He saves us by not standing in the back, shouting out the words to us, as we will do to some people, but by entering into our struggle, by going under the baptismal waters and knowing what that feels like and enduring the fire for us all the way to the cross against the sins that would ruin our lives. It's already been done. No price was too high to pay. Remember that the Lord says, you are mine. Do not be afraid and fear not, for I am with you. He said it to them then, and he says it to us right now. Amen. And that brings us to communion.